you true believers, it's that time you've been waiting for. Gather around your iPod, radio, or whatever you're listening to, for Mitch and John are about to go into the power cosmic. Sit back and listen to comic books, toys, movies, and more with those two guys that've got nothing better to do but talk about the stuff that you love. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wake the neighbors, phone the kids. It's time for the Power Cosmic Podcast. Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast. Can you feel it in the air? There's something major going on. We're about to have the Duel of the Fates. Who will win, Republican or Democrat? As we record this, we are a couple days away from the election of 2016. We don't know who will be leading the free country, but I do know one thing. The other person here, the yin to my yang, the dark side to my light side, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him. Direct from the Rain and Flea Market, booth number A, as in amazing, 89, that's right, A89. You read him in the pages of Back Issue Magazine, Alter Ego, and the Jack Kirby Collector. The Jack Kirby Collector. Let's give it up for the one, the only, the king of the world, the master disaster, the Duke of Paducah. Ladies and gentlemen, right here on this podcast, John Cimino.
Don't forget, I'm Petunia's favorite nephew.
I'm Petunia's favorite nephew. I didn't even introduce myself. I was so overwhelmed with your greatness. I be Mitch Halleck, the producer of the terrific Comic-Con, Connecticut's number one Comic-Con, coming at you every August at the Mohegan Sun. John, I know you are getting ready to do your civic duty and vote, even though I don't think you're allowed to in this plane of existence. But that's today's topic, John. We're going to talk about world leaders in the world of comic books. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, John, we're going to go back. You know, Hillary Clinton made a lot of headlines being the first woman to ever run for president. But, John, that is not the case in the world of the four-color world we live in called comic books. Let us begin with the Woman of Wonder, the Princess of Power. That's right, Diana Princess from the Amazon Island, Wonder Woman. She ran for president, did she not, John? And do you not have that comic book in your possession as we speak?
Yes, I bought a collection of comics that actually had Wonder Woman number 7, where she runs for president, which is a very hot issue right now because of maybe everything that's going on. Wonder Woman for president, issue number 7 from 1943. And I have it right here. I have a 2.5, if everybody wants it, for 3,000. It's hot as a mofo. And yes, Wonder Woman for president. It's Wonder Woman 1,000 years, and it's 1,000 years in the future. So maybe not 1,000 years, but 80 years in the future, we got Wonder Woman running for president.
Oh, my God. So it did take place in the future, because I was going to say, I knew Wonder Woman was a very progressive character for the time, but I could not imagine any male-dominated society in the 40s writing about a woman running for president in that time and age.
Oh, absolutely, especially back then. And yet she's running for president, and there's still a whole bunch of bondage in here, too. You know, Moulton Marston, he was a freak. He was a freaky deaky.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things. His ancestors live right up the street from me, his son, Owen, and his granddaughter, Christy, and they're always at my comic book conventions. But yes, there are quite many stories about William Marston, the man who created Wonder Woman. In fact, he also was the developer of the lie detector machine. Did you know that, John?
Of course, and he loved to put those wires against young girls' little choo-choos and chee-chees. And he loved to flirt with them and tell all that stuff. Yeah, I think he created it just to rub up closer to women.
Well, let's not go there. I do believe there's many stories about his open marriage. I do know that he and his wife had a live-in lover.
A live-in mistress. Live-in mistress.
Yes, in orgies and all types of wild things going on back in the 40s. I do believe he died at a young age, but he probably died very happy.
Smile on his face, Mitchie.
Yes, he did. Well, okay, so Wonder Woman, again, Hillary Clinton, not the first woman. We had Wonder Woman. She ran for president. Did she win that election, John?
To tell you the truth, I don't know. I have the book, and it's encased in a CBCS, and what goes on in that. You know what? I'm sure she did, but it was the future, so I'm not sure it happened. So you think that this issue right here is foretelling of what's going to happen in the future?
We won't know yet, John. By the time our listeners hear this, we will be the thick of the polls, and people will be out there doing their civic duty and voting. So we won't know. Perhaps on next Wednesday, the day after this show airs, we will know who is the new leader of these United States.
I want to get this straight right now. I have never voted in my life. Never. And there's been a few candidates that have come out in the past that I thought I would. Jerry Garcia said this best. Even if you pick the lesser of two evils, you're still picking evil. So I do not believe in that. So I don't care what anybody can say to me, oh, you go out and vote, blah, 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 blah. I have not done it because I do not pick. If there's somebody I believe in that would really, I think, is going to aspire to greatness, I would vote. So I'm telling you this right now. So I'm not voting for Trump. I'm not voting for Clinton. I think they're both horrible. I think if Jesse Ventura ran, I would do it. And the only other time I came out of, I almost voted was back in the day when Ross Perot came out. And then I almost did it, and then he disappeared, and he came back, and then nobody cared. So that's me. So just to get that straight, I'm going to put it on the table right now.
Wow, John, always taking no prisoners as always. That's what makes the Power Cosmic so powerful as a podcast. We're not afraid to make people, just ball up their fists and shout at the wind. So you are not voting for either candidate. I myself have voted every single election. I ran for office twice. We all know those stories. But I will be out there, and I agree with you. I don't like either candidate this time, but somebody's got to win.
I think, Mitch, all you care about is that the next Wednesday shows up and you can get your comic.
That's right. I'm more looking forward to next Wednesday. All right, so I'm not going to tell you who I'm going to vote for. So let's go back to some of the other candidates who have filled the world of comicdom over the years who's run for office. And speaking of really bad guys, Lex Luthor himself not only ran for president, but he also won the presidency in the world of DC Comics. What do you think about that, John? Do you think a ruthless businessman like Lex Luthor is appropriate to run the country?
Well, of course. isn't that foretelling of everything? If you're a politician and you're in that world, you understand that the system is based on bribery. So, I mean, with lobbyists and all that other crap. So, I mean, like, Lex Luthor. See, it's so funny how, I have to say this, Mitch, and we don't usually swear on the, but it shows you how fucked up our system is, because we can even make jokes about Lex Luthor being president in the comic books, and we all take it seriously. We're all like, yeah, that's right. And yet, we let it happen. So, I mean, I think that's crazy in a sense, but yes, Lex Luthor is a, because didn't he first become a businessman in John Byrne's run, right, during the 80s? He was always a mad scientist before that. Is that correct, Mitchie?
That is correct. He was always back in the day, if you look when he first started off, he was the chubby mad scientist type character. And then when we had the Adventures of Superboy, we find out that the two of them were connected as youths. And Superboy did the famed storyline where he blew out the flames of Lex Luthor's laboratory, which was on fire, and thus also blowing off all the hair from Lex's head, making him go bald. And at that time, full of childhood innocence, that was what put Lex on the path to hating Superboy.
Right, 'cause he was always balding redhead guy in that orange checkered suit. And
yes.
And you want to know something funny? Who was the first, here's a little comic trivia for you. Who was the very first bald-headed mad scientist in comic book?
It was not Lex Luthor. It was Dr. Hugo Strange, wasn't it?
No.
Was it the Ultra Humanite?
No.
Bald-headed, Dr. Savannah from Captain Marvel?
Captain, another thing that they took from Captain Marvel. Yes, Dr. Savannah was the first mad, bald, mad scientist supervillain. Yep. And let's get this straight, that Captain Marvel was also the first to fly in the comic books, not Superman.
Wait, what? Go back. You mean the man who can leap buildings in a single bound ripped off his flying ability?
He only leaped. He first started flying in the Fleischer cartoons because they could animate it better. He's leaping. Nope. Captain Marvel was the first.
Wow, another first here on the Power Cosmic. For all you kids who think they knew it all, you were once again educated by the man himself, John Cimino. Hey, so Lex Luthor, bad guy, but yet the people loved him, and he ran the country until, of course...
Because he could talk a good talk. Let's not forget how manipulative he was, but he becomes the president, and yet... He's the most evil guy on DC planet Earth, correct?
Yes,
and,
he is.
And there you go. Why wouldn't it be? And why wouldn't he be a ruthless businessman? So it just shows you it predates everything. So you got Wonder Woman with Hillary, I guess if you can call her that, and then you got Lex Luthor with Donald Trump. They're both business. It's perfect, isn't it? And
yeah.
Both in the DC universe.
It's bizarre, and yet, like I said, the people voted, and they became presidents. Now, let's flip the switch and go to our lovely world of Marvel Comics, where was no better candidate in the world. Honestly, war hero, true blue, honest, son of an immigrant, you can't get better than the Steve Rogers Captain America, who, again, in the 80s, under the tutelage of Roger Stern's writing, ran for president of the United States. They nominated the Captain America, and he went there. And I do believe, if I recall reading that story from 30 years ago, he declined their nomination and would not run for president of the United States of America. Is that not right, John?
Absolutely. And wasn't that during the John Byrne run?
Yeah, John Byrne was the illustrator, and Roger Stern was the writer on those.
Yeah, and he makes his famous speech, which if anybody wants to go to hero-envy.blogspot.com, I have an article that I post every now and then, but there's an article there that I wrote, the 10 greatest Captain America moments. And as I'm leading to those moments in the introduction, I put the panels for that about how aspiring Captain America is. And Captain America is for the people. He's not for the government. That's why. That's what he's always been, an idealist. He's always been a symbol. He doesn't want anything bigger than that.
Well, okay, so now that we just talked about the Marvel's, you know, failure to make Captain America the president, there was a really weird thing that happened in 1976 under the writing skills of Mr. Steve Gerber, the late great Steve Gerber.
And buddy to Roy Thomas.
And that came into the pages of Howard the Duck, the irreverent little Drake, Duck, Mallard, whatever you want to call him. He was Marvel's answer to Donald Duck. He wore a suit jacket. He had a tie. He had a cigar. He even had a little hat sometimes. But for some reason, he ran for president of the United States. And why was that, John? Do you recall that story?
I think it was the same thing that was going on with today. You know, maybe they didn't like who was the candidates for presidency, and so people were saying, like, fuck them, let's make Howard the Duck president. That's what I think, actually, Mitch. It's like that they said they didn't like who was... who was in the 76? Was that Nixon?
That would be Jimmy Carter was running for the Democrats, yes. And, geez Louise, I can't think of who was running for the Republicans.
I was way too young to know. So I think, was it Nixon running again?
No, Nixon had resigned by that point. No,
he was... Yeah, you're right.
And his tagline was, "Get down, America." That's what we saw all the time. And what it was is...
Funny thing with the Howard the Duck thing, it actually started building steam. Like, a lot of people got on that. They started giving out pins. You know, they got on that wagon.
Yeah, well, what it was is people were very upset with what just happened with the whole Watergate thing a couple years earlier, with Richard Nixon resigning and Gerald Ford taking over it. So a lot of folks were just fed up, and they said, why a duck, to quote the Marx Brothers? See, Howard had fallen on hard times, if we want to go back to it. He needed something to rejuvenate his career. So, you know, they didn't know what to do. So what we had was he ran against Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford was running for the Republicans. He was seeking re-election. And Jimmy Carter was running for the Democrats. And that's what happened. So, It's one of those wacky things there. Steve Gerber was writing it. Gene Colan was drawing the pictures for it. And it took off, like you said. It was become a cult thing. I saw Jerry Ordway at New York Comic Con wearing an original Vote for Howard the Duck button, and I think the artwork was Val Merrick. It's crazy, yeah, isn't it?
That's total, Jerry. But I'd rather Howard the Duck than Paul Cooperberg. What would you say?
Well, there is that. But what happened is he didn't win the election. Okay, we all know that. He just... And people weren't going to vote for a duck. I mean, it just comes down to that, you know?
I think I remember even reading a bunch of those, like, letters and stuff back in the day, because those were in Foom magazine, too, if I'm correct. And I remember people saying, like, I'm really voting for Howard. Like, they didn't care. People probably went back in the 70s. Some Marvel Zombies probably went and put Howard the Duck on the ballot and shoved it in. That's probably pretty fun. Probably really happened.
You know, it's kind of a weird world that we live in that this even happened. The 70s, I mean, I know they were a little drug-fueled over at Marvel at the time, but it was just a very odd story. I mean, I don't... Would they even do that nowadays? I can't even think of who would pull that off.
What, smoking dope?
No, not smoking dope. I'm talking about putting a duck running for president. It just seems so outlandish nowadays. I can't
imagine. Howard had another resurgence because you remember his little appearance in Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's true. That's true.
Which I want to say choked me up because at the end of that, right after that scene, what did they put? Howard the Duck created by Steve Gerber.
And why I got
a little choked up about this. If anybody knows the history of comics or anything, Steve Gerber fought Marvel until the bitter
oh, God,
end.
Yeah.
At the end of his life. And why I got a little choked up is that Howard finally got some recognition, and right when they put his name on, it just made me sad because Steve never got to see that happen. I mean, he had something to do with the Howard the Duck 80s movie, which was a...
Well, actually, no. It was in 1978. Steve Gerber... and the publisher, I believe it was Jim Shooter at the time, they had a clash over creative issues and creative control, and Steve Gerber was abruptly taken off the title. So,
Yeah. And that's why eventually when he was doing the Independence and all that, he got Destroyer Duck. He did. Remember that? He came up with Destroyer Duck?
Oh, yeah, no. It was he filed a lawsuit in 1980.
Oh, yeah.
And copyright infringement.
They kept going. But he also made Destroyer Duck, and he had Jack Kirby draw it. And he told Jack, can you do this for me? And he goes, I can't pay you. And you know what Kirby said?
Don't worry about it.
Yep, don't worry about it. The man. Oh, the
well, what happened was, yeah, it was a fight over creator rights back in the time, which was unheard of, because we all know those legendary stories about, you know, Siegel and Shuster not even owning a piece of Superman and all that stuff. So what happened was, because of Destroyer Duck with Jack Kirby, there was a lawsuit, but it was settled in 1982, and Gerber acknowledged that his work on the character was work for hire for Marvel Comics, and that they owned all the rights and were titled to it. So, sadly, that's what happened, you know?
Yeah, and the other thing about Gerber, not to go into a different direction here, but he also had a lot to do with the Thunder the Barbarian cartoon, and that's where when Kirby needed work.
Yeah.
He when Alex Toth left, he couldn't. He designed Thundar, Ookla the Mock, and Ariel, and then some differences came out. I don't know, something with the company, and he ended up leaving. They needed somebody else, and it was Gerber who returned the favor and hired Kirby because he was working with the production on that, because obviously he had something to do with Commandy and all that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. But like I said, it made me a little choked up because there was the recognition that he always wanted, but he already passed
away. Gerber was a maverick. I mean, you got to give him credit for it.
Yeah?
I mean, he came up with the whole idea of Howard the Duck running for president. And do you remember what the party was called that he ran with? It was called the All Night Party.
But not just that. If you remember, his Defenders issues were really out there, too.
Yeah, I mean,
those Defender issues that he wrote. And see, once again, I talked about this earlier, him being Roy Thomas' friend. He was Roy Thomas' high school friend. I don't know if you know that, but when he needed a job and stuff, it was Roy who hired Steve Gerber and gave him his chance, and Gerber kind of went with it, you know. And like, Gerber was a very radical big thinker. He just was a strange, he had some strange stories. And anybody who reads those early Defenders, I can't remember the names of them, but I think he wrote it till like, you know, maybe like, let's just say 25 or 26.
Yeah.
I could be wrong there. But those early Defender issues, if you read those, like, those are just bizarre as hell. But yeah, Gerber, I loved him.
He was something else. And you got to remember, too, I mean, Howard the Duck actually got thousands of write-in votes during the actual election back in 1976. So it was pretty crazy. And like I said, they sold the buttons and there was merchandise out there. There was even a Howard the Duck comic strip that ran for a year or so that was done by Gerber. And who else was there? Alan Kupperberg. Speak of Paul, his brother Alan worked on the Howard the Duck daily newspaper strip. So there.
Yeah. Howard got really big at that time. And Howard was like, if you think about it too, in the world of ducks,
yeah,
like you had Donald Duck, you had all these, like, let's just look like if you think Baby Huey, you looked a little like Baby Huey.
I did, yes, I do, yeah, have that.
You remind me of that with your deep ends and your thick,
yeah,
your thick,
yeah,
boy. But like in the world of ducks, Howard the Duck is really a pro. If you think about it, he's one of the greatest duck creations, Uncle Scrooge and all that. I mean, like, he transcended. You would think if you saw Howard the Duck, he'd be kind of like, you know, like he's like a knockoff of Donald Duck and all,
yeah,
this stuff. But he became his own character.
It's kind of funny you mention that. Walt Disney Company actually sued Marvel for infringement of copyright, saying that Howard the Duck looked too close to Donald Duck. And that's why, if you recall your Howard the Duck history, he started wearing pants.
Yeah. He started wearing pants. But let's make no bones about it. Howard the Duck got the women. He got the women. The
women. Beverly Switz. Yeah, Beverly was his. She was hot.
Yeah, he was a cute little duck that got laid all the time.
I know, right? Wasn't that bizarre? Because
women loved him. So he was a pretty great character. And then when they made, didn't his had a series earlier this year? Howard the Duck.
Oh yeah, no, it's back again with Chip Zdarsky. Zdarsky, I believe I'm saying that correctly. He's now a private investigator on the Earth. They redid him.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, he's back again, and who knows? I mean, we know that the ill-fated 1986 Marvel first movie out there before Captain America, Iron Man, all the resurgence they've had in the last 15 years or whenever it's been now, I don't know. But the original Marvel movie, the first ever Marvel-produced movie, was George Lucas's attempt to bring the Howard the Duck to life on the screen. When Howard the Duck, the movie, opened up, starring Leah Thompson, Howard the Duck, who was portrayed by a small little actor, I can't think of his name right at the moment, and also had Jeffrey Jones, who was in the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off and Beetlejuice, and Tim Robbins from Shawshank Redemption was also the star of that movie. And that movie laid an egg. Dun-dun. It was horrible. I saw it in the movie theaters, and I think there was two people in the theater with me, and it was just not well thought out. I don't know what they were thinking.
Obviously, I was way too young to like go to the movies to see it. I would have supported it, but I remember seeing it and being so excited because, you know, back then, oh my God, a Marvel movie? Like, that was like unbelievable to me. And obviously, I didn't see it. And yeah, they call him Howard. Can feel it. Oh my God. Some of the touches love you apart. Oh God, I remember that. Yeah, so Lucas didn't have a bunch of winners.
No, I don't know what. It was right after he came off of Star Wars and Indiana Jones, and this was going to be the next big thing, but no, it just never came to be. And
I thought it was better than his first two. I hated Star Wars, and I hate Indiana Jones because I hate Harrison Ford because I hate you.
Thank you. See, people don't need to know the behind the scenes at the Power Cosmic, the little internal strife that goes on here.
I just broke the fourth wall. Right,
oh, you there. Did. You just, ladies and gentlemen, we're airing the dirty laundry here. I guess the politics are just.
I love Les. Les gives me the only.
Now we're really going out there. People have no idea. All nine of our listeners are more confused than ever, because they don't know what happened. But it's tragically, let's wrap up the Howard the Duck. As you mentioned, in 2007, Steve Gerber was diagnosed with idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. I believe that's like something with the he was on the waiting list for the lung transplant and unfortunately never got it. And he died on February 10, 2008 in a Las Vegas hospital. So, unfortunately, yeah. His last comic book work was called Countdown to Mystery, about Dr. Fate, which was over for DC Comics. And that was it. He was, it's a shame, 2008, and how many years was it before Guardians of the Galaxy brought him back, so.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy was, what, 2 years ago? So, you figure, yeah, I mean, almost six years. But like I said, what was so sad about it is he fought Marvel to the death, and he got his little recognition in the end, and he wasn't there to see it. And that was always a little sad thing for me. But I was so happy you got Howard drinking a little martini. And Howard is supposed to be like an ugly duck.
Oh yeah, you know? He's nasty. You know,
And the women love him. That's so funny. Okay, Mitch, since we're going to be ending the Power Cosmic podcast, may I ask a question on...
Well, we're not ending it permanently. We're just ending it for today's episode.
All those superheroes or supervillains that we've just listed that were running for president, who would you vote for president if you had them on the ballot?
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. I would team up Captain America... And his vice president candidate would be Wonder Woman against Lex Luthor, and his running mate would be Howard the Duck. I would vote for Lex Luthor and then hope he gets assassinated right as he's at the inauguration, thus making Howard the Duck the replacement, and he would be president. So, yes, I would hope Howard the Duck would have been president because I want America to get down, and I don't know who else would have been more ideal for that, but Howard the Duck.
And you want to know something? I agree. I would vote for Howard the Duck, and I would, because he would at least make it fun. You know, he would be with the women, and like you'd be like the John F. Kennedy and Bill Clinton with the women, yet he would get stuff done, and people would love him.
But you know what I just realized? Due to our laws, he would not be eligible to vote or run, because he was not a U.S. citizen. He was born on Duck World, not on this earth, not in these United States. And the same with Wonder Woman. She would not be eligible to run for president because she is from Paradise Island.
That's actually pretty interesting.
She's an Amazonian, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, on Paradise Island.
So there goes that. Dude, those two candidates.
Between Cap and Lex Luthor, would Cap step down because he wouldn't do it, and Lex would win. Oh my God,
so you hear it here first, ladies and gentlemen. As we are about to close this episode at the 27-minute mark, I'm going to say we don't know who's going to win the election next Tuesday, after you've heard this, we've traveled through time. It might be over by now. So, do you want to go out on a limb here and predict who's going to win the election?
To tell you the truth, I don't keep up with it because there's so much. I hate politics. I hate.
Come on, pick one.
If I'm going to pick one, I think that I do believe that the system is all rigged, and I do believe that I think. Oh my God, I don't even want to say her
name. Say it.
I hate so much. I think Hillary is going to win because due to the politics of it all. But I vote Steve Ditko.
There you go, and
I'm gonna say she's probably gonna win.
I'm gonna say Hillary Clinton's probably gonna win, and boy, wouldn't it be something if we listen to this on Wednesday and we're both wrong?
Well, you can't be wrong if Howard. Remember, we both go for Howard the Duck.
Well, yeah, we should have stayed with that. Make mine Marvel.
That's interesting. I don't know. So that's our prediction. And,
we might be on the enemy list if Donald Trump wins and he's listening to this.
I know. He might come crashing down because he doesn't want anybody to oppose. I'm going to just say this, though. I think Hillary's going to win, but I would rather have Donald. And I know that's going to drive people crazy. Like I said, I'm not voting on that because I'm all about chaos, as you know, Mitch. You know me personally.
You are the Joker, yes.
Go into that world and bring absolute chaos to everything. I'm going to be like just sitting back being like, here goes the world, like explodes. You know, I mean, like, I love chaos. So, like I said, I'm not voting. I don't care who wins. But if I had to pick from those two, I would say probably Trump because of the chaos he'll bring, the chaos bringer.
And that wraps up another episode here as we're trying to keep it to the 30-minute mark. The only time you'll ever hear us get political on this show, the Power Cosmic made us do our, I don't know what, civic duty and talk politics this week. But, it had to be done. It's a dirty job. So say it, John. And that's that.
That was Howard the Duck.
I thought so. Either that or you had a heart attack. Come
Didn't Howard have that thing?
He said, wag.
Yeah, it was like...
This might be up there with the Hulk impressions.
No, you always sound like fucking Frankenstein. It drives me crazy. It's like...
All right, that's it. We can't capture magic in a bottle twice. All right, I'm shutting it off. See you next time. Goodbye, kids.
Oh, did you keep going?
And that's that. This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.